How do you overcome cancer, miscarriages, other major health challenges, abuse from a narcissist, and create a worldwide movement? Our guest, a multi-award-winning entrepreneur and world influencer, went on a self-journey that she shares publicly for the first time that took quite a few twists and turns before her health once again forced her to look inside even deeper. Hi, I'm Rosie Aiello, and welcome to the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast. We talk about moving forward after experiencing narcissistic, controlling, demeaning, and abusive relationships. If you've been in one of those, like me, you know what I'm talking about. You're not alone. You've been through some painful stuff. Shame, blame, that inner bully inside you. My mission is to lift and inspire you. Give you the ways you can reclaim your voice and value, your confidence, and the courage to be the new empowered you. Our guest today on the podcast is Tamara Hunter, who gets vulnerable talking about her intimate past like never before, her journey of health crises, and a worldwide movement she created to help others. We're going to talk with Tamara Hunter in a moment, and first, a mini masterclass. If you've been following my podcasts and these mini masterclasses, you'll notice that self-care comes up a lot. Freedom Fulfillment Pillar number 2 covers self-care. When I was putting the pillars in order, it was really hard not to put self-care number 1. As women, we're programmed to put ourselves last. They say, whoever they are, right, that men are designed to create solutions. If they see a woman cry, they impulsively try to come up with a solution to make her stop crying, really because they can't handle the crying. Of course, us women, we don't need a solution. We just need to be heard. Anyway, I'm getting a little off track here. I believe that women are very much solution makers, but the way we often create our solutions is by blaming ourselves and by sacrificing ourselves. And the result is a lose-lose proposition. The other party doesn't benefit and you don't either. The other person doesn't benefit because we're taking on the responsibility of how they feel. We think we can make it better so they don't have to feel pain or discomfort. But we can't control how someone else will react or feel. It's not our responsibility. You'll fight me on this, and you'll fight yourself on this because you really want to make things better. But hear me, you can't control anyone else, and you definitely can't control their feelings. The other person needs to feel their feelings, but we're afraid of it. I remember, you know, being in the relationship I was in with my ex, and just bending over backwards to, oh, if he could just have this moment of happiness, if he can just be happy, then I can be at peace. The family will be at peace. Everybody will be at peace. But I was never at peace. I was always on hyper alert. I was always stressed because I never knew when the next shoe would drop. But that wasn't right. I was living in fear, and I get that. So we can't control how somebody else feels. We can't control anybody else, period. They need to learn that they'll have good feelings and awful feelings and that they'll survive. We need to learn that we'll have good feelings and awful feelings and that we'll survive. That's the belief we need to create. Now, like I was talking about with my relationship, I really understand that if you're in or have been in a narcissistic relationship and they are blaming you for everything wrong under the sun, that was a method of your survival. And you got into this pattern of just giving in and giving up. I'm not saying this is healthy. It's not. But I understand why you may do this, you know, since I did it for 25 years. And we're not here to judge you, right? And don't judge yourself for this behavior. It's completely different. But if you're out, if you've left your narcissist and you're still practicing making everyone else feel better, you are the one who's going to suffer and suffer more than any other person, right? You know what I'm talking about. I want you to get real with yourself here. You keep giving up the real you to contort yourself into someone who you think will please, or what you think will please the other person, and win you some kind remarks or a behavior of theirs. And which it may have, but it was short-lived, right? It's always short-lived. The relief is always short-term because it's not the real you. It's the fake you. It's the pretend you. And your body knows it. You can't lie to your body. So just play with me here. You know, when you can stop this podcast and just take a moment and or start to reflect and look at your life over the past 10 years or so, or during the period when you were with your narcissist and afterwards, whatever that time period might be. And write down every single ailment you had. And don't scuff this off. A lot of people, I can't tell you how many women I have spoken to. And when I ask them, you know, well, were you ever sick? No. I didn't have anything. I was fine. But then I have just in the course of the conversation, oh, well, I had this and I had that. Well, that's because they never linked the two. They put their illness outside of their personal relationship, outside of how they were feeling emotionally. They didn't tie it together. So write it down. You know, colds, geez, maybe, you know, hey, maybe you'll start to notice, gosh, you know, when I was with that person, I was sick all the time. I always had a cold. I had an allergy. It doesn't have to be a huge, major illness. But remember, there is a direct correlation between being abused and illness. Some are more serious than others. You know, like my guest today, she had a number of very serious illnesses. So while you think you're being nice to everyone, you're actually doing a major disservice to them and to yourself. You're not being kind to them, and you're definitely not being kind to yourself. You're not responsible for how anyone else feels. You're only responsible for yourself. Now, I'm not talking about small children. Yes, you're responsible for them, but also to help them experience the feelings and not make up some story to make them feel better. This is emotional resilience that they'll need to learn as they grow older. So even as they're little, let them be sad when something is sad and not make it like they have to feel happy right away. This is how we start to learn these bad habits. So instead, I think it's time to create a win-win proposition by being kind to yourself first, by knowing and practicing self-care. When you honor yourself, your beliefs, and your body, you'll step into empowerment. And there's nothing like that feeling of freedom. And as you step into your own empowerment, you give others the opportunity to empower themselves instead of learning to depend on others, in this case, on you, to make them feel better, which is impossible. So if you want to learn more on empowering yourself and shift from maybe feeling guilty for not doing more to make others happy, then I can help you. Start by taking the Freedom Fulfillment Quiz, and you'll hear about that in just a moment. And then let's talk so you can learn the steps to get there. As you improve your emotional and mental health and wellness, your body will feel healthier too. The only way to move forward and create an impact in your life is to know where you're at, where you want to go, and what's holding you back. Get started by taking the Freedom Fulfillment Quiz. In 4 short minutes, you'll discover where you are, where you want to be, and what you'll need to do. If you're serious about evolving into a new empowered you who can show up as that confident woman she once was or wants to be, then start now. Your life is waiting for you. Go to freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. Today, we're going to meet Tamara Hunter, multi-award-winning entrepreneur who went on a journey of self-discovery but kept getting derailed. Maybe you felt that way too. And now you'll hear how you can keep going, rise up, and recover even stronger than you thought possible. Tamara will be here in a moment. And first, thank you for downloading the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast, produced by the Love is Kind Network. We're just starting out. Please subscribe. Every 5-star review on iTunes and every share will help our mission to impact 100 million women worldwide who have lost their voice, value, and authenticity in narcissistic, controlling, and abusive relationships. Will you help us achieve that goal? Now to Tamara Hunter, founder of Chemo Buddies for Life. Let's go from vulnerable to valuable with Tamara Hunter. Well, welcome. We have a very special guest today, Tamara Hunter. I am beyond thrilled that you are here with me.
Me too. To be honest with you, I'm just, you know, I'm very excited. Very excited. Mm.
Well, I want to share with my listener a little bit more about you. Of course, we're going to go into it pretty deep, but let me just give them a little background of how absolutely amazing you are. Tamara Hunter is the president and co-founder of Chemo Buddies for Life. That's CB4L.org. It's a 501c3 nonprofit with the mission to end isolation during diagnosis, treatment, recovery, and the new normal life due to cancer. A survivor herself, she is now building a worldwide movement that is supporting both the patient and those who support them. CB4L.org believes in healing through connections within yourself, with a buddy or buddies, and with a strong community that shares humor, heart, hugs, and a whole lot of love. Tamara won the first Next Impactor competition in August of 2019, which is a competition that looked for people who are ready to take their message and mission to impact the world. The creator and host of the Service Hero Show, Tamara celebrates service through Facebook Lives. Now on her third year, Tamara believes that we all have a service hero inside. Are you excited or what to hear this amazing woman and the journey that she has come through and what you've done? You know, so tell us a little bit more about all the exciting things you're up to. And I didn't mention all the awards. I mean, I see them coming through. It's like the list is too long.
Well, you know, lately, I'll tell you, it's humbling. It's very humbling. And it almost feels like Christmas lately every day because I open up my computer and there's something new waiting for me. And, and it's not, I want to make this very clear for everyone out there. There is no way that you can one person do anything that is touching people throughout the world. It is, I am quote unquote, the founder, co-founder and president of a movement. Yes. However, it takes those others that join. And in truth, you can't have a movement without that second and third tier. When you have those others that come and believe, then you have a movement. And so, yes, the first Global Next Impactor, that was a really big one because it really did bring take us out on the map. And what was cool about it is that many that are in the leadership of the program now that we're building are the other Next Impactors that, quote unquote, I didn't run against them. We ran against time.
Oh, amazing. I didn't know that. Well, yeah. Is that one how they come together and support you? You know, everyone supports each other. I love that. And saying, oh, she won. And, you know, but that's, you know, that shows the generosity of everyone's heart.
Right, right. And that's what they were looking for. They were, you know, like yourself, Rosie, you're an impactor. You are a Next Impactor, a global Next Impactor with the movement that you are building. This is what it's all about. And we need to be there for each other. We need to support each other and help to raise the frequency of the world through that four-letter word, love. You have the necklace on with the hearts. There you go. It's all about the love. And so, yes, recently I just was given the award of one of 13 women for the year 2020 of All Women Rock. I was actually approached by a TV radio group out of Nigeria to be one of their shows that they stream live, and we had to connect it all together. And now they are calling me a brand ambassador, which that was that was really amazing because
That's wonderful.
When you start looking at the world, it really is a small place. And yes. What is allowing for that is things like this.
Yes.
The fact that we can touch each other through the internet, through podcasting, through streaming live shows, and with hearts that are willing to get out there and do the heavy lifting to help each other get through some tough times.
Thank you for sharing that. I think it's just hearing how everyone is helping each other is just so empowering in and of itself. You've had a long journey to get yourself here, and it's extremely impressive. And I want you, you know, if you can just give our listener a background of where you came from, like what, when you had your, you had some difficult relationships or a relationship especially, and how did you know and when did you feel most vulnerable?
You know, those are good questions. And I want to thank you, Rosie, for your platform, because it was the very first time I ever talked about this publicly was with you. And I had already been out there publicly. However, I had never talked about this openly. And so you having this platform allows for that. Thank you. And, you know, to understand this, you can't, in my mind, and I want those that are listening right now to understand, yes, I am, quote unquote, a global person that grew up in a bubble. I had health issues. I came from, quote unquote, the broken home, the this and that. In high school, I had to live with friends because of family issues. You know, so was it the white picket fence? Yeah, someone could say it was, because it was my white picket fence. I own it. I own it now. I didn't then. Fast forward, I end up really going on a self journey, and I thought I was figuring it out. I was married a second time, and that's when it all took place. I was actually pregnant with my second child, well, third child, but second child with that husband. And I had lost children. I had medical issues, and I had miscarried quite a few times. And so I was one of those bed rest kind of people. Well, I was put up against the wall, pregnant, and then I was thrown across the room. And I will never forget that very moment in time in my life. I barely could get up. I got my keys. I left immediately. I knew, get out. And I went to my church leader at the time. And let's just say that the thing that I learned through the whole process is that there are people that have amazing hearts and they really want to serve you. However, you need to be able to tap into yourself, and that's not always an easy thing to do.
Yes.
And so being able to have a program like what Rosie has here, if I would have had that then, mm-hmm. and you can only, you know, you can do the what if, and what if. However, my journey would not be as amazing and as impactful now if I would have. My journey was meant to go my road. I will say that the empowerment didn't come for a few more years. I had another significant incident, and this is after I had another child. And
so you had stayed with him.
I will say that I was, I don't want to say convinced, I was counseled, and there was interventions. I won't say that I was, quote unquote, I believed I wasn't an enabler. However, when you're in the thick of it, the thing I understand now is that you don't necessarily see all sides.
Yes.
You think you are. And I really thought I was being proactive. It's funny how things trigger you. And I was, of all things, listening to a song from The Lion King, The Circle of Life. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother had always talked about what comes around goes around and what goes around comes around. And I'm a real family history nut. Well, needless to say, the reason I'm on the journey I am for my nonprofit is because I'm not the only person in my family that has experienced cancer. A whole nother story, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, but that when I was listening to that song, I remember that moment. I remember where I was, what the room was, what I was wearing, everything. And it was, oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
That was goodness. I need to change this. I need to do something. And that's when I started reaching out.
This is such a great story that you're telling, because women, you know, when we're in the thick of things, plus we think we know it, we don't see it, or we try to fix it, we have all these things, and then there'll be a moment, you know, for you, it was a song, for me, it was a book, for somebody else, it might be a webinar, maybe it might be this, you know, it just was like, oh, I don't have to live this way. This is not a normal, healthy way to live. And people, you know, will probably say, well, like, why did you stay so long? I mean, I've heard that so much, right? But it's just like, if you're in it, you know, you get it. You get why you stay, right? You get why you can't get out. You get it. But for those who are not, this is also, you know, the mission for me is just to help educate other people why women get stuck in these powerful webs. So you gave us some really vulnerable moments, especially, you know, you're pregnant. What could be almost worse than that, right? So that must have been really, really challenging for you. And I'm so glad that you and your children are safe now. But you ended up actually, I think we had recalled, he had put like some things near the door to kind of threaten you.
Yes, yes. Okay, so what ended up happening is I had been reaching out. I had actually...
To him? Reaching out?
Not only to him. I started getting therapy. I reached out to my church authorities.
You were trying to get support.
Right. And I even reached out for interventions with this family, and really, and they all were like, oh, no. You know, it's your fault, your issue. Maybe you're having the baby blues. Maybe you're having post-traumatic stress, you know, because of whatever, you know, other things. Mm-hmm. Not that there was anything to do with that, you know, the marriage and the individual. And there was another aha in that. And that was, I was thinking I was going crazy. I literally was. Mm-hmm. I literally thought, Rosie, I was going insane. I was seeing a therapist for a couple of years, three times a week, and doing all the work. I love homework. I did all the work. Finally, again, one of those red letter moments, you remember them, how everything was. It slowed down in time. And I'll never forget that moment when it was, okay, you're not crazy. What I believe you are is married to an undiagnosed bipolar.
Mm.
And it was, it was, what's that? Because it was before it was getting, there was only a couple books. It wasn't like now people, there's even more studies, and we can go on that subject. But the bottom line was the third party validation. You brought up something that I thought was really important to understand. And this is something that is still, it's like the second year that I'm coming clean on some stuff. You mentioned something that when you were, I believe, on my show, and that was that there are some that have been physically and sexually abused. And then there's those that have been financially, emotionally, you know, and all of those. And I'm in that first group. And then I'm in that first group so much that I needed doctor assistance to put me back together again. Humpty Dumpty had fallen off the wall. And, you know, and did I call the police? I called the police, but then I called my church leaders, and my church leaders convinced me to call off the police and that they would help take care of this. And again, I have no ill will against them or anything. Mm-hmm. This was a journey I was to take. So I just wanted to let people know out there that no matter who you are, no matter what award you've won, no matter what you're doing in your life, that we all have our stuff and we can get through it. We can get through it.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And that's the whole purpose of this, is to, you know, show that, you know, even though we can still move forward, you know, this is my whole mission is you're moving forward after being in these kinds of traumatic relationships, and it's not our job to fix them. And And what I loved what you shared, especially, is that third party validation. And I didn't get that until, I mean, many years after my escape. And when my therapist told me, you're having a normal reaction to a bad situation, I'm going, oh, really? I mean, I knew I was feeling crazy and I knew all that, but it was years. But when she said that, it was like, I'm normal, right? It's like, no, it's normal to go crazy.
Yeah.
Right. When you are in a situation where people are making you crazy, but you don't know that at the time. You think you're going crazy. And it was so such a relief to hear.
I want to address one thing that I didn't, and that was the thing by the door.
Right.
When all of this was going on, this is where that became very significant, because I started really and you know, when there's a threat to the status quo, if you will, of whatever that dynamic is, and in this case, the woman, the wife, the mother is saying, I'm not going to put up with this. Then the other, in my case, my husband, the father at that time, will do everything and starts, you know, putting the full court press. I was married to a sharpshooter, and he actually did sign off the sheriffs in our area for their ability to, they have to qualify at the range all the time. And he was the range master.
He's a sharpshooter?
Yeah, he has that ability, and he had weapons that you could go in a, be completely in one of those suits and be hidden in the trees or the bushes or whatever, and you would ghillie suits and you would never know that they were there, and they can take people out. And he's trained like that. He has that type of training. And he would leave that weapon near the door to remind me at all times, no matter what, he could find me and he could take care of what he wanted to take care of. And I'm the mother of four kids that at that time were, the youngest one was not even in kindergarten, and the oldest one is 12 years older than the youngest. Four kids. And that is very, it will remind you every day, you have to look to see what is the most important thing. And every time I looked at these little guys,
yes,
you know,
your
who
children.
Are now adults.
Right.
But, you know, it was like, okay, do I allow them to be motherless, or do I, what, you know, it was like, what do you do? And every step of the way that I looked to, you know, I got the third party validation, and then, you know, on and on, calling the police for help and then letting it be known to authorities. I mean, it's not like I was keeping it quiet 100%. I did in our society, though. I was in a very tight-knit community, and on my lawn, this is what's crazy, is many times you are married to the most charming person, they think. Everybody outside.
Yes, exactly.
Thinks that you are married, you are in the most perfect situation.
Right.
I mean, my house was beautiful. I lived with designer furniture. I had a sign in my front yard that this person was running for office. You know, it was like that kind of situation.
Yes.
I had a view of the whole valley. You could say I was living a charmed life.
Yes, I hear you.
By all indications, it looked as though I was. However, the truth, and only very few people really knew the truth. However, I was reaching out. And then I had to decide what was the most important thing. And I finally made that choice, and it was life. It was life. I had to choose life.
Yeah, I am same here. You know, I just, so I understand you thoroughly, and then, you know, and to see where you are now, you've made that huge, huge journey. But, you know, our children and our own lives are just so important. It's like, yeah, I have one life to live. I'm going to live this. And God, whoever, you've got all this supporting you. You don't even know. When I look back what I did, I'm sure when you look back, it's like, how did I really do that? But we did it, and we're here now. Now, I know we're going to get into in just a moment some of the steps that you took to get where you are, you know, how the recovery and the continuous journey. And to bridge the gap here is, in my experience personally and talking to many others, many women have had health issues. And obviously you've had cancer because you know, you're in charge of that organization, Chemo Buddies for Life, which is fabulous. You know, what other health issues maybe did you have? Did you feel any of it was related to your experiences, maybe trauma as a child, trauma, you know, in your marriage? Share us a little bit about your thoughts on that.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. 100% without a doubt. And it's pretty incredible now what I know because of the people that I work with and the medical community that has convinced me to even be doing what I'm doing. And as I have asked questions and sat in meetings and discussed this, there's not one ounce of a doubt in my mind. And the science is starting to prove it too.
Right.
And so in my case, it was a progressive situation. Can I say that I had, you know, a hero's journey from childhood? Yeah, you could actually say that. Mm-hmm. However, we're really, for the purposes here, is that I was diagnosed while I was in that marriage, and it had been after I had had that experience with my child and being pregnant and then being thrown across the room, landing on a hard surface. I didn't say that too. And in jeopardy for 24 hours. That within appropriate amount of time, scientifically, it could be completely documented and proven that I ended up being diagnosed with very, very chronic, severe autoimmune issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the rheumatologist that I ended up working with, and this was back when a lot of this was still somewhat new.
Yes.
I was up in the Salt Lake City area. They have some amazing medical facilities and some top line medical, you know, cutting edge kind of places. And I went to one of them. Thank goodness I could, and I did. And I knew that there was, again, I'm a proactive enough person. I knew that something was off. I was diagnosed, and I started treatment for that, along with, and I'm very proactive. I looked for what could I do naturally? What could I, you know, what could I do for lifestyle?
Yeah. See, that's how long it starts to take. You know, it's probably was manifesting a long time and you're feeling things and not feeling things. And
Right. So, and because those kids went, you know, 2 years apart and then 3 years apart. So I have, you know, four kids. And so when I was diagnosed with that, it was 2 years after I'd given birth to my fourth child.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was 4 and a half years after the incident. So I was diagnosed with really bad fibromyalgia with all of the associating issues. And, you know, yeah. And I had more than, you know, the normal trigger points. I was in all quadrants. And so, you know, there you go. So then going forward, I worked with the rheumatologist. I had also hematologists I worked with because I had anemia issues and all sorts of stuff. And it was all my body's communication.
Every episode, I offer a mini masterclass on the 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars. You can get the guidebook to all 11 Freedom Fulfillment Pillars right now. Simply go to vulnerabletovaluable.com and hit the subscribe button to get your copy. The only way to move forward and have an impact in your life is to get awareness of where you're at and discover what's holding you back. Following the 11 pillars, I was then able to develop strategies to create my business, become an international award-winning entrepreneur, speaker, and author, find the love of my life. And I use these pillars every day to create a fulfilled life. These are the same ones that I use with my clients. And now they are yours free. Go to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe. And now we're back with global next impactor, Tamara Hunter.
Now I understand this much more. And what's wonderful is the science that is being really out there. If you're having these things, listen to your body. Your body is talking to you. And And can I encourage you to listen to it now before it gets to the point where my body ended up saying, you're not listening to me. You're putting band-aids on the situation. We're going to have to go to the next step. And that was when I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And my breast cancer was on the left side. And anyone that understands anything about breast cancer and has done any of the, if you will, associated studies that have to do with the emotional issues that become disease and the different types of disease or cancer and why some are more prevalent and found in people that have been in some kind of major abusive situations. And mine was on the left side, which is the indicator that most likely it could have something to do with some kind of emotional and abusive trauma.
Like it's because it's near your heart. Yes, yeah, you know, I haven't been diagnosed with cancer, knock on wood, but I too had fibromyalgia. And I was suffering for maybe 15 years, but I didn't know what it was. I was living in the Middle East, so I didn't have a lot of the doctors and things like that. It took a long time before it was diagnosed. And it was to the point where, and I've never really spoken about this very much, but it was to the point where I was literally walking like a 90-year-old woman. I could barely get out of the car. Yeah. I could barely go up the stairs. First I thought I hurt myself. When I was working on the treadmill, I thought, oh, you know, I must have sprained something. So they did cortisone shots and that wasn't helping. Of course, nothing helped. Absolutely nothing helped. And I was getting weaker and weaker. And then one day I said, I am not living my life like this. I was just like, I was just on a mission to help myself. So finally, between two doctors, my general practitioner, who was American trained, and the other one, he had American training as well. And then I think about it, American and French training. But anyway, they talked to each other, and then I was diagnosed with this thing that, you know, fibromyalgia, what the heck is that?
Yeah.
And in my own personal journey, you know, I started taking some medication and it helped. It was really life-saving for me. And then they said, there's no cure.
Right.
So when I came to the States, and I didn't want to take medicine for the rest of my life. Mm-mm. And so I started taking vitamins and replacing it. And it's like, I don't have it anymore. I go, this can go into remission. Diagnosed, you know?
Yeah.
And insurance people say, oh, it's not curable. It's like, why are they telling me it's not curable? I just cured it. So don't tell me. So this is a big issue. That's why I'm so glad you're sharing this message to listen to your body.
Yeah.
Very few women have put it together, how they've been treated either in the past or in their current, you know, relationships with, you know, either as children or adults. This is a major, major health issue. And you and I have spoken about it so much.
Yeah.
And, you know, sadly you have, I mean, a lot of your things, you know, I had full hysterectomy again, mm-hmm. you know, same thing. You think about all of this thing and you're being mistreated. And when you have fibromyalgia, you just shrink literally, right?
Oh yeah.
I was
yeah.
crumpled over.
Oh yeah.
I couldn't even stand up straight.
No, I have a buffalo hump now and I lost 2 inches. I have scoliosis. I have, you know, and what came first, chicken or the egg? Who knows? It doesn't matter. However, with that said, I do now believe, because of all the studying that I've been doing and being very proactive, I believe that the body can actually heal and it can heal to a point where I can start even getting some of that height back. I can correct these things. The body wants to be in its peak form.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter what our age is, you know, throw that one out the window,
yes,
guys.
Yes, absolutely. Throw it out.
It's gone out of here. And I didn't mean to step on your words again. It's just that I'm very passionate about this. Is that
me too.
That fibromyalgia and all of these chronic illnesses, quote unquote, you can say cured, you can say remission. The bottom line is you have control. You have control and you can get it out of here. You can get it out of your life, but you have to listen. You have to listen to your body. In my case, I thought I was. Mm-hmm. Then I found out I got slapped in the face, but I would never go back and change it now, because what it's done is it's given me a mission to get out there and do something to help others that have been underserved and need what what we've created and we're taking out to the world.
Thank you. You know, some of you know, the path, the journey to healing and to recovery includes many, many steps, which you and I have spoken about. And I think one that's probably worth talking about here is self-care. So what are some of the self-care I want to hear, you know, share with our listeners so they can pick up some of these strategies to help themselves? Maybe it'll be just, again, that one that they're, oh my gosh, that's what I need to do.
Well, you know, thank you for asking, because I will say this too. Life is a roller coaster. You know, there's just no way, you know, it's a wild ride, and you can be on it, and you can be woohoo, or you can be like, you know, both, or it can be both, right? And there have been times in my life that I've been really, really awesome with the self-care. I mean, really very, very disciplined. And then there's others where, okay, I'm on top of it. And then I've got other things going on, and then I let go of some, then I have to get back to it. And I'm in one of those get back to it modes right now, in truth, because, you know, we life happens, and those that are here within this movement need to understand that, you know, put a note to self that my self-care is not to be forgotten. And nothing should take precedence. And I am saying that because I had to put one of those notes on my my mirror, that I'm going on a walk. And I go up hills. And I mean, my vice president of my nonprofit, she's like, "You're not sounding so good." I'm like, "You have to understand, I'm going up a hill like this and I'm talking." And she's like, "Okay, then
this is what it sounds like when people are actually exercising."
And however, you know, it's like, okay, if I am being held accountable that I am moving and I am doing this, because right now we're in a unique period of time. This is a time where we can be feeling sorry for ourselves and have the dark gray clouds over us. Or we can say, you know what, this is the best that could ever happen, because I can flip it. I can take this time and I can have my own hero's journey and work through it and move through it and heal through it. And so I go live and I'm doing the walking. Oh, that feels great. So then what do I want to do? I know how to, you know, do exercises without hurting myself. Mm-hmm. I've been trained to do that. Mm-hmm. So I know these things, but though we always do it, we may know it. We may, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. And then does tomorrow come? I'm like my ninth day, I think eighth or ninth day. So, I mean, really this has just started back up again because I was having pain and the pain was talking to me. And I'm like, oh, I know you're talking to me. You're communicating with me. This time I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to you and honor you, body. And so we all need to always be aware. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm also drink plenty of water, get plenty of sleep, or as much sleep as possible. And that's one of my problems. I'm working on that. Eat clean as possible, given the situation. You know, have it in the forefront of the mind. And the next thing, don't beat yourself up when you can't do all of the
above.
All of the time.
Yeah.
Pick your battles. So I asked two questions in the last couple of days. One, because I'm about heroes, service heroes. Yeah. I asked, what is your superpower? And then the second question was, what is your kryptonite? What is your Achilles heel? And self-discovery type questions. Because we all have we all have those superpowers in us. Are we tapping into them? And then we need to understand what is it that's going to drop you to your knees, because you know that's that kryptonite. And understanding these things, it's incredible how we can then start doing that self-discovery to say, okay, I'm on my hero's journey today. I am going to get through this, and I have that service hero for myself. Even, you know, start there. Start for yourself. Connecting, the healing through connections within yourself. Start there.
That's so beautiful. Absolutely. I mean, I know we're so aligned, but even every time you talk, it's like, yeah, we're even more aligned. That's even possible. And I believe in that so much, about really starting with ourselves. So many of the times we're looking outside, especially when you're in the relationship, and it's like, oh, I'll just, you know, if I can just do better, fix him, whatever. and we none of it works. And why do we have those pains and everything else? And listening to your body. I didn't even know I was supposed to listen to my body, right? So what you've been sharing has been so, so incredibly helpful. And I appreciate it because we're kind of, I mean, for me, I wasn't looking at myself. And now I know that the healing is all within. So looking at yourself, challenging yourself, asking those questions, what's your kryptonite? What do you need to do? What have you fallen off of? And instead of spending the energy of, and we all go through it because it's a normal human emotion, but to pass through the emotion of anger and blaming and just being stuck in that and start saying, okay, I can't change anybody else or change the world, but I'm not happy and I'm going to make myself happy. I'm going to create the joy. I'm going to make myself healthier or whatever. I'm going to do that work. Now, it is work, but there are patterns and this is, you know, this is what I teach and you, what you do. And we're living proof that it's a journey, right? You call it a roller coaster, but it is a journey. And to really embrace that as a journey. And that's what it is. But we have the skills or we're learning the skills to overcome that and move forward. So I want to ask you again is about, you know, one of the things I know I had, I was just looking at my notes about trusting, you know, trusting others and trusting ourselves. I know I've had that as a major issue, which is why it's part of the program and why I now work with it. But do you want to share a little bit about your journey on that topic?
You know, that one's huge. That one's huge. And anybody that overlooks that one, it's going to come back to bite them one time or another or many times. Because I will say, allowing for grace in this area is probably the one thing that I have learned that I continue to do. And I love that word because it's actually my grandmother's name. And so, you know, I think, okay, and what comes around goes around. Remember, guys, comes around, goes around. What goes around comes around. And Lion King song and everything, you know, circle of life and grace. And trusting ourselves, that is the journey I believe that many of us will be on for maybe the rest of our lives. It can be done. Do I sometimes still question myself? Yes, however, now I look at it differently. I say, okay, why am I trusting, you know, why am I asking this? Is it that it is the right move? Am I feeling an alarm? Am I feeling that possibly I need to take a moment and reevaluate? Do I need to do a quick U-turn? What is it that's going on? And in that, because in so many areas of my life, I completely trust myself. I have overwhelming security in myself. I know I can find a way to win in just about every category. This one particular area of my life is the one area that I haven't talked a lot about. And pretty much I've only talked here with Rosie about this particular area, because this is the one area in my life that I do feel that I'm the most vulnerable. And now I'm allowing myself to question. And possibly where you could go with this is that I'm trusting myself to ask the questions and then allowing myself to have the grace to say, okay, you have it going on in all these other areas. You can find a way to win in anything that you do. However, when it comes to your own personal life, you know, what's up? and I allow myself that grace now to say, all right, I'm going to trust that I'm going to get those answers, and those answers will come through my journey. And I'm not done with my journey. I'm not done with my journey. And so Beautiful. Do I get answers all the time? Yes. Do I have all the answers? I'm going to be honest with you guys. I can't say that I have them all. However, I'm excited that I'm not done with my life. you know, I'm here today with you.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you are. And I think, you know, I love the way you encased it too, is to, you know, now we question, now you know how to question. So it's a challenge in listening to your body, listening, you know, asking the questions and giving yourself some self-compassion or some grace. Again, we're not going to, even if we make a quote unquote wrong decision, it's not a wrong decision. We made the decision with the best decision that we could, given what we knew and given our tools and given our skills and given the circumstances. We wholeheartedly believe that we made the right decision. So it does no good to continue to beat ourselves up on that, right? Deserves right. Nothing. Well, thank you so much for everything and your time. So how can, for those who just want to just be part of your organization, whether they have cancer or not, but you know, how can, because we usually know somebody in our family or friends, we know somebody in our circle who has that. So how can people get in touch with you? And do you have anything you can share with them?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. They can get a hold of us through the website, definitely CB4L, Chemo Buddies for Life. So CatBoy4LLion.org. Mm-hmm. And then also on Facebook's probably the easiest way too. Mm-hmm. Go to Facebook and we have a fan page, Chemo Buddies, the number 4 Life. Mm-hmm. And then if you really want to dive in, join the community. We have a closed group. It's very tight-knit, wonderful community. We have miracles happening every day there.
No,
it's Chemo Buddies for Life. And then go to the groups and then go to Chemo Buddies for Life community. Ask to join. And we require two things. And that is anything that takes place in that closed group stays in that closed group. Mm-hmm. And it is a safe environment. We monitor that. And come and share humor, hope, heart, hugs and a lot of love. And if they want to get a hold of me, I'm on social media everywhere. I have a website being built, but it's not quite live yet.
Oh, that's how you're doing so much work. Well, all those links will be in the show notes so people can get them when they're ready to do that, because I think it's fabulous. So I want to, you know, I always ask all my guests, you know, the final question is, what does love is kind mean to you?
Oh my goodness. It means everything. It means everything. In fact, we are launching a tour of love this year. Love is the answer. And love being kind is truly, truly everything that we can have happen. And when love is kind, and we heal through that kindness, the frequency that we then raise, we can actually heal our world. So what it means to me, it means health, it means happiness, it means the joy that is behind, that we see right there, that sign right there, joy, right there. It means joy. It means everything. Rosie has it going on with the movement. And may I just say that I am so excited for July the 27th, that's coming up. It, as you know, it's my mom's birthday. Mm-hmm. I celebrate the Love is Kind movement with you, and we'll be on that day and remembering my mom, because she was very kind.
Thank you.
She showed love to everybody. And that's the very best thing we can do, is give that gift of kindness and love to ourselves and others.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing your vulnerability, and seeing, you know, we're shifting from vulnerable to valuable. You're such a shining example of, you know, being real and human, and it is a journey, and you're making such a major impact in the world. And we thank you for all the work that you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for today's episode. Head on over to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe to the show. When you subscribe, you'll instantly get a special ebook. And when you subscribe to the show and post a review to iTunes, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free consult with me. Plus, your subscribing will help our mission to inspire 100 million women worldwide to heal and move forward from their abusive relationships. That's vulnerabletovaluable.com. The podcast that guides you to reclaim your voice, value, confidence, and courage.